Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to our super big Friday show here on Catholic Answers Live. We are joined this hour by an actual internet sensation. Father Mike Schmitz has a brand new book, Made for Love, Same-Sex Attractions and the Catholic Church. It's from Ignatius Press and the Augustine Institute. Father Schmitz is also a well-known YouTube, I think it's YouTube, yeah, YouTube presence, shall we say. He's a priest of the Diocese of Duluth, Minnesota. He currently runs the Newman Center at the University of Minnesota, Duluth, and is also the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry at the diocese. Today, he is our guest. Thanks for being with us, Father Schmitz.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And are you in Minnesota now?
Currently at the Newman House in Duluth, Minnesota. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's, you know, roughly, I don't know, 10 below right now. No big deal.
That's what everybody always wants to know at this time of year in Minnesota. What's the temperature? Like how, so 10 below, that's not bad.
No. I mean, we got down to 26, 30 something below.
Yeah, right.
Within the last couple of weeks. And so
if it got to 10 below in Southern California, we would all be dead. We would just all die. Well, but for you, it's like, whatever.
It is not fun. I'll tell you that.
Well, spring is coming, and it does seem that there are a whole real conversation going on in the Catholic Church about same-sex attractions and about how the Church has responded in the past, how the Church responds today, what the future of the Church holds. Why did you write the book Made for Love?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually didn't want to originally. Ignatius had approached me, and I had given a talk on this topic, and they say, "Hey, we need to make this into a book." And I was like, "I don't know. I don't really want to." But then ultimately it came down to, if I rewind my life to even when I had my conversion to Christ, 15, 16, like shortly thereafter, there were people in my life that I recognized, like, I wonder, you know, that kind of that sense of, here they are, they're close to me, I love them very much, and I just have a sense that this is a reality in their life.
Yeah.
And so ever since, you know, I was in college, I studied theology and then went to seminary after I was missionary for about a year. This question kept coming back up. It's like, no, there's people that I love that I think this is the reality in their life until, you know, they finally did reveal these things. And I remember having this desire of, I want to be able to speak to them. I want to be able to, care for the people that I actually do know and right in front of me, the people I love, and try to bridge a gap between their experience and the love of God for them in the Catholic Church. And so when it comes down to it, this, I guess, quote unquote topic or issue never really started as an issue for me. It was always it was always connected to persons, you know, it was always connected to people. And so that's where it started for me, is just this desire to care for the people I love and call them and explain things as best as I could and call them into sainthood.
I have been impressed in recent years whenever I, you know, give a talk or am with people who are Catholic young adults or Catholic teenagers, and even in some cases those who are younger than teenagers, how much this issue kind of weighs on them. That they're, if you say, well, you know, you're encouraging, you know, to accept the love of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ and all that. And if it comes around to, well, what are the obstacles? It's amazing to me that it feels like maybe a 90% certainty that what a younger person will say has something to do with how the Church treats gay people.
Yeah. No, that was actually another motivation. The Ignatius and Augustine people had contacted me because they wanted the book based off of a talk. The talk originated because I was giving a presentation to about 1,500, 2,000 high school students down in the Twin Cities, St. Paul, Minneapolis. And the man in charge said, what do you want to talk about? And I had been in relationships with a bunch of youth who they had encountered Jesus. They knew the truth of the Eucharist. They knew the truth of the Catholic Church. They knew Christ founded the church, all these things. But when they got to this issue, it was like they pulled the chute. Like, yeah. I can't do it.
Right.
I'm like, man, this is nuts. And so just seeing all of these great, great young people who were saying, I just can't do this, caused me to say, we need to say something. We need to present what we truly believe in a way that demonstrates to you that this is not a message of hate. This is not a message of discarding people, but this truly is like at fundamentally a message of love. And that's why even the book is called Made for Love. It means it is about those who experience same-sex attraction made for love and the rest of us made for love. So
888-318-7884, the number if you'd like to talk with Father Mike Schmitz about his brand new book, Made for Love, Same-Sex Attractions and the Catholic Church, 888-318-7884. We do already have callers for you. Father, shall we go to the phones?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, let's start with Giuseppe Giuseppe from England. Yeah, Giuseppe calls somewhat regularly, and we're always happy to hear your English voice. Giuseppe, your question for Father.
Hello. How are you this evening?
We're very well.
Fantastic.
Father Mike, I've rang up, really. It wasn't anything to do with what you're going to talk tonight about the book, and I'm sure you'll do very well with the book. Just want to thank you very much for what you've done for me in terms of I've become a real devout Catholic. I've had a lot of upsets and one thing after another in my family, and it's put me closer back to the church. But because of you and watching your videos in England, it's really, and then of course in conjunction with Catholic Answers and my parish and priest, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I think you're a great bloke. You're brilliant, as we'd say in England.
Wow. So, thank you, Giuseppe. Thank you so much. That means a lot. That means so much. What a great gift of God's grace. You know, it's wow, that's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, so I just wanted to tell you, that's all I wanted to do.
Thank you.
Giuseppe, you're one of our favorite callers. We love it when you call. And thanks for I can tell just looking at him that you made Father Mike's day today. So that's a beautiful thing. And I call you an internet sensation, Father. And I maybe have some sense of teasing in that because it doesn't sound like – maybe you don't usually think of your local priest as an internet sensation. But you have used that – the medium of especially video on the internet to share the love of God in a reasonable and kind way with so many people. It's wonderful to hear that from Giuseppe, but I'm sure there are thousands of other people who could call with a very similar call.
It's a gift. I mean, what a grace to be able to be part of that. So thanks for saying that.
Yeah, well, you know what I think we're going to do? We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with internet sensation Father Michael Schmitz, the author of Made for Love, Same-Sex Attractions in the Catholic Church. If you have questions about the book or about same-sex attractions or about the Catholic Church, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with Father Mike Schmitz after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Bishop James Wall from the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Tim Staples, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 26 books in the 20 Answers series, we're going to knock 60% off the price, and we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. And this year, to make it easier, we're offering free shipping on the sampler if you live in the continental United States. That's 60% off free shipping and over 500 answers to questions you have about the Catholic faith. Join us this Lent and Easter to take the 20 Answers Challenge, and together we can be part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Super Big Friday Show, and it really is a Super Big Friday Show, and we have internet sensation Father Michael Schmitz with us, and we have the opportunity to talk about his brand new book, Made for Love, Same-Sex Attractions and the Catholic Church, a very, very important topic these days, and it's certainly the case, Father, that the Catholic Church is probably the primary voice in the world challenging many of the values of the sexual revolution, saying not so fast on a lot of those.
Yeah.
And so maybe people either assume or extrapolate from that a Catholic distaste for gay people, because a lot of the kind of revolution in that area is connected with connected with the sexual revolution. And if you Catholics are against sexual revolution, you must be against us.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting, because I think in many ways the narrative has been taken away from us. Or I want to say not the narrative, not just the narrative, but even our message has been taken away from us, or maybe given away. I'm not sure it doesn't really matter. Ultimately, I think our world presents, I worried about this in the book, because I remember talking with someone very close to me, and he had said, he showed me this video, and the video was very compelling, because it was this story of this young man who had come out of the closet to his family with his partner. And he said that when I came out of the closet, I introduced my family to this man, and they called him Uncle Shane, and they loved him, and he was part of the family. But when he told his family about me, they said, if you come home, you show up on our front porch, we're going to meet you at the door with a shotgun. And so this was I'm watching this video, and this, again, the person I'm close to was showing this to me, and I got done with the video. And I said, so he said, what do you think? And I said, well, are those my only two options?
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. Truly, it's like, it's either this, like, you're going to celebrate and agree with everything I choose and do, or that means you hate me.
Right.
And yeah. It's just like, wait. And I remember my daddy, he's such a wise man. He said, no parent agrees with every decision their child makes. And he said, no good parent agrees with every decision their child makes. Maybe some parents do, but no good parent does. And that, like, being in a real relationship means there's a third way. It's not either I celebrate everything you do or I hate you. It's, okay, I'm in a real relationship with you, which means that we're going to disagree and we're going to continue to be in each other's lives. Like, we're going to disagree at times. And you might tell me that you think I'm wrong, and I might tell you I think you're wrong. But, like, we're going to stay. And that's why one of the messages that I like to give, particularly when it comes to young people, but everybody, is, remember I gave a talk at a Steubenville conference a couple years back, and it was called Tolerance and Same-Sex Attraction. And I said, you know what, this isn't really about tolerance, because tolerance is about them and about us. And I think for too long, we say, well, those people who experience X, Y, Z, but for us, here's what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we have to actually change our language. If we really believe that we're the body of Christ, and that all those baptized are truly sons and daughters of the Father, our brothers and sisters, then it's just us. And so this is a family thing. And that's why one of the best, I think, images that helps me at least kind of move forward in this is, I'm talking to my sister here. I'm talking to my brother here.
Mm.
And that means we're going to be in a real relationship. And I do not always agree with my sisters and brothers. And they don't always agree with me, but it's us. it's, this is our family as opposed to us and them. And I think once we pass that and really communicate that, and I know that many people have a wound of, I fear that you're going to reject me if I reveal this about me. And when you can say, you know, I'm not going to reject you. I'm going to, at some point, we can talk about this later if you want, we might be called higher. We're going to be called higher. But right now, this isn't about rejection. This is about like, no, I love you. This is this third way of Jesus who says to the, you know, woman caught in adultery, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. Like, I want to be in relationship. This is like, this is not the end. At the same time, this also is, I'm not just going to let you go. And that's this false, I think, false kind of love that says, oh, you know, live and let live. That's not love at all. That's basically, I mean, you know, John Paul II, what did he say? He said, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is use. You could even say it's indifference. And think about how often we're just indifferent. Like, just live and let live. That is indifference. And that is the farthest thing from love that I think a person could have.
Father Mike Schmitz is our guest. Made for Love is the new book. Lots and lots of callers. So let's, if it's all right with you, Father, we'll head to the phones. Ray in Lexington, Kentucky, watching on YouTube. Thanks for joining us on YouTube, Ray. Your question for Father Mike Schmitz.
Hey, Father Mike. So my question is, you know, I have these friends and they're Christian and they've really prayed and discerned and like say that they feel called, you know, to that relationship with the other person, you know, and living that, you know, same sex relationship, obviously like not chastely. So like, how can we be Christians and like walk beside them, you know, in that, knowing that like we can't be like, oh yeah, that's, you know, you're totally called to that person, you know, to live in that unchaste way.
Yeah, absolutely. Now it sounds like what you're describing is a situation where you're pretty frank with each other all around. And not only that, but it sounds like that you all have like in this case, there's an appeal to their Christian faith and there's an appeal to the claim that the Lord is leading us into this. Now, one of the first things I always say is two kind of notes. One is I think a lot of these kind of situations are common sense situations. What I found oftentimes is that there's this kind of exceptionalism that can happen when it comes to this issue, that if it was a different issue, if it was an issue of someone else living in some kind of other sinful relationship, some kind of other choosing some other kind of sinful thing, it would be like, we would know exactly what to do, right? We would be like, we're not, it's not a protected class. There's not a, again, this concept of exceptionalism that in my case, I should have permission to go against God's word because I prayed about this. So similarly, I mean, if someone were to say, you know, in my case, I prayed that, I fell in love with, you know, my secretary at work. And so I have to leave my wife. And I think the Lord's blessing that because he hasn't said no. Like, well, actually, no, he did say no. It's in his word. And this is like basic common sense discernment, you know. So that's one of the things is just to note for ourselves is what's common sense. Now, that's number one. Number two is that sense of being able to, I'm here to listen, but at some point, are you going to ask me what I think? If they don't, then, you know, I don't know. I mean, if sometimes we're called to be prophets amongst our friends and family. But on the other hand is if someone is kind of like, I imagine I keep having this image of those who attacked Stephen and that, you know, they just plugged their ears as they were stoning him. Not to say that you're being stoned in this, but to be able to say that if someone's willing to listen, then I'm willing to speak. But if someone's not willing to listen, then, all right, what do you want me to do? Because thirdly, I can affirm all that we can affirm. I mean, that when it comes down to it is as Catholic Christians, there's a lot in relationships that we can say, that's fine. You know, here's two people. I remember giving a talk at a college a number of years ago. And at the end of the talk, this young woman stood up and she said, you know, my partner, my girlfriend is, she makes me more patient. She makes me a better person. I'm more kind. I'm more generous, you know, with her. She makes me, you know, she's a great support for me. And when she got done, I said, you know, everything you just described is a good thing. Like literally everything you described is a good thing that a friendship can add to someone's life. And so the church doesn't condemn any of that. It's simply the sexual acting out of, you know, a genital expression of sexual affection for the other person, that the church begins to say, okay, this is, now that's the line. That's the line. And so in this, you know, these three things keep in mind. One is, would it be as foggy of a call if it was a different kind of situation, you know, if it was another kind of sin? Secondly is, of course, I do want to have the sense of patience and kindness with someone and just be able to listen and be patient. But third, when it comes to speaking, do I have permission? Do I have permission to challenge? Because if it was another friend, I mean, think about another Christian friend, if you shared your faith and they were saying, you know what, I have the sense that I know God's word has said this about this, but I feel called to do, you know, X, you know, anti whatever God has said. Would you in that situation, that relationship, be free to disagree? Or would it be like this situation where it's like, I can't even challenge him on this because it's this situation. I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but I think that if we could take a lot of this down from being like this kind of protected class of an issue or kind of exceptionalism and say, like, let's just make this like anyone else. Because that's the thing is, if it really is not them and us, but us, then we do that all the time. I mean, we do that with our siblings. We do that with our friends. And we say, you know, it's time to go up, come up higher. I think that's just common sense.
Ray?
That was awesome, Father Mike. You're the man. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not sure that you're the man, but...
I know.
All right, you can have it for today. Anonymous in Ohio, you are on with the man, Father Mike Schmitz. Your question, please.
Hi. I would like prayer, and I would like some advice for my son.
Would you like to tell us about it? Anonymous? I'm sorry.
Hello?
I think we the connection got interrupted. You said you would like prayer and advice for your son.
Exactly. And how to get him out of the people that he knows that are gay. How I can help him with that, because he sees that his dad's living an adulterous relationship with a younger woman. And so he sees that, also, I lost my 40 acres. First it was the marriage, my 40 acres, and then my son is rebelling against his dad by having a friend who is gay. And my son doesn't dress, thank God, like a woman or anything like that. But I just would like prayer on how I can convince him that he needs to change his ways. And because I was raised very strict Christian. Well,
Father, do you want to interject there? And then Anonymous, hang on a quick sec.
Yeah, there's a couple things. One is, of course, obviously your own pain. And that's going to be important to even be able to address and to acknowledge the fact that this is a difficult situation for you. And the first thing, you know, I've had alcoholism affect me and my family in a pretty significant way. And one of the things that is helpful when it comes to those who are not themselves alcoholic, but those who are really close to those who are alcoholics, to go to a group called Al-Anon. And I remember talking to someone who had gone to this in my circle, and they said, okay, they went to a couple of meetings and said, okay, tell me how to fix him. Like, you were talking about ourselves right now, but you guys tell me how to fix the alcoholic in my life. And they said, oh, no, this isn't for him. This isn't to fix him. This is to help you. And, in that, you know, one of the first things that I want to say is that the Lord does want to help you. He wants to hold you. He wants to care for you. Because you're going through a lot of pain in this. There's a group called Courage, which is for men and women who experience same-sex attraction, but who want to live a Catholic life. They want to live a chaste life. There's another group called Encourage, and that's for friends and family of those who are who experience same-sex attraction. I'm not equating alcoholism with same-sex attraction or anything of this. What I am saying, though, is that this affects people's hearts really, really deeply and affects their lives really deeply. And so, like, what Al-Anon is to those who are affected by another's decision when it comes to alcohol, and courage is, I think, to a lot of people who are like, I have questions about how do I continue moving forward? That's the first thing I would say, is because you're worth caring for as well. And it could be really helpful for you to have some encouragement. And that's why they call it encourage, to know how to, like, how do I truly love my son on a day-to-day basis? That's the first thing. Does that make some sense?
Hello, are you still there?
We are.
Yep.
Did that make sense,
okay,
what Father said?
I don't drink. I'm not an alcoholic. I don't drink.
Oh, okay. Anonymous, hang on a quick second. I think Father was making an analogy there, but we'll straighten that out when we come back because the music is playing and we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Father Mike Schmitz, the author of Made for Love, Same-Sex Attractions and the Catholic Church, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
What does the Church actually teach about same-sex attraction? If God created certain people gay, how can we say that it's sinful for them to live that way? Why should we listen to the Old Testament's condemnation of homosexuality when Jesus never said anything about it? In 20 Answers Homosexuality, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, providing a faithful look at what the Bible, the Church, the natural law, and science have to say about same-sex attraction, and how to respond with undiluted truth and compassionate love. 20 Answers Homosexuality is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting series from Catholic Answers Press.
Why does God sometimes reveal himself privately? How does the Church discern reports of supernatural miracles and apparitions? What are some of the most famous Marian apparitions in history? And what do they teach us? In 20 Answers, Apparitions and Revelations, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, explaining the scriptural and theological basis for private revelation, unpacking the Church's approach to evaluating and promoting miraculous phenomena, and sharing inspiring accounts of approved apparitions and revelations from the distant past to the present age. 20 Answers Apparitions and Revelations is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com today and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
We need Catholic radio because we need the voice of the Church in the public forum. We live in a time that the secular voice dominates so thoroughly that we need to get that Catholic perspective out. Just as Fulton Sheen used radio and TV in the last century, we need to continue to use. This means to announce the Catholic faith in the public forum.
Bishop Robert Barron thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Mike Schmitz, author of the brand new book, Made for Love, Same-Sex Attractions in the Catholic Church, is our guest. And if you have a chance, if Catholic Answers has meant a great deal to you, if maybe there was a guest or an edition of Catholic Answers Live, or if you've just benefited from listening to the show and you'd be willing to leave a voicemail testimony to that effect, it's very helpful to us. We would appreciate the opportunity to share that with other people. 619-387-7200 is the number to call if you would like to share your testimony about what Catholic Answers Live has meant in your life. 619-387-7200. As I said, we're very grateful to receive that if that's something that you feel able to do. 888-318-7884 is our number if you'd like to talk with Father Michael Schmitz today. 888-318-7884. And let's just put a bow on that. We were speaking with an anonymous caller in Ohio before we went to the break who wanted to know what to do about her son, who, I have to be honest with you, Father, it wasn't clear to me if her son is living as a gay man or just has gay friends. But in any case, it was upsetting to our anonymous caller, and you were addressing that.
to make it clear that I wasn't equating alcoholism with same-sex attraction. What I was trying to say is that there are groups for those who are affected by these things that that can help. And so one of the great groups that could possibly help her, almost regardless of whether her son is actively participating in a homosexual lifestyle, or if he's just kind of surrounded and maybe kind of engulfed, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, in that culture, would be a group called Encourage. It is for family members and friends who of men and women who experience same-sex attraction, who want to know how best to love and want to know how best to care for and want to how to be a part of people's lives and at the same time remain faithful. Because there's a lot of pain, you know, across the board. There can be a lot of pain. There's a lot of baggage that we're all carrying. And it's true. We're all carrying this stuff. And so Encourage can really help those who are close to men and women who experience same-sex attraction.
Anonymous, thank you very much for that call. Lots of calls for you, Father. Let's go to Carolyn in Sturgis, South Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Carolyn, your question for Father Mike Schmitz.
Hi, Father Mike. I just want to start by echoing Giuseppe and saying thanks for all the work you do and putting your homilies on Bulldog Catholic. They've really helped me.
Thanks.
And my kids love you. My kids are, when we do lunch, they're like, is there a Father Mike video that's new? So I really appreciate
awesome.
It. So I am a youth group leader with my husband. And so we talk with teens about stuff like this, you know, that's affecting them. And my question is, we were talking about like relativism and stuff in our last series. And it got brought up that they have, I guess there's a group of transgendered kids in their school. And this transgender group is like just really mean to everyone else. And so my question to you was, what can I say to help my teens, my Catholic teens, it sounds like they're almost afraid of them, walking them by this other transgendered group in the hallway. And I've said, you know, like, oh, just maybe say hi to them. And they're like, yeah, then you get, you know, stared at and, you know, and almost like bullied. So what can I tell my Catholic teens about how they could maybe reach out to this group? Because I just feel like these kids are probably just really hurt and they're kind of just lashing out at everyone. But how do I tell my Catholic teens how to share the love of Christ with these kids that are going to see him in the hallway?
Father?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I'm glad you asked. And thank you also, by the way. I would say a couple different things. Let's go the super high road first, and recognize that maybe one of the calls you can have for your teens is, so this group of young people is super mean. And what does that mean? That means that they look at them funny. I mean, just to, like, you know, to press pause on that, it's like, so they're surely mean. And so if you say hi, they'll look at you funny. And to be able to, like, even just kind of recognize, like, okay, you know, in this day and age, what we're going to need to do is we're going to need to have more and more really, truly courageous Catholics who are willing to be looked at funny. But also even more than that, are willing to even experience a certain degree of misunderstanding, a certain degree of unfair treatment that we want to prepare our young people for, not because we want them to have that, but because we want them to be prepared for that. So I think you're in a phenomenal position to be able to say, okay, so is it possible that your gesture of like wanting to just say hello, that's met with some opposition, you know, it's met with a look, or it's met with kind of like maybe even some scoffing, is understandable. So let's dial it back and say, what about the martyrs? What about those who really bore witness to the love of Jesus with their whole lives? And then, you know, I think it'd be a great opportunity to call some of your teens even higher by inviting them to say, be courageous about this. And now, not courageous about their students or classmates are projects of theirs, but to be able to recognize, okay, there's probably a lot of pain going on here. Like you said, probably a lot of shame happening, some degree of like not fitting in fully. And so when someone reaches out or someone kind of just smiles, how you and I interpret that, we would interpret it like, wow, someone's being nice to me. But if someone, all they know throughout the course of their life is all they know is rejection, or all they know is this kind of hostility, then they interpret someone's, you know, smile and hello as what do they want from me? Or when are they going to, you know, turn on me? And so I think that it's really important. So if you could communicate to your students those two things, first, and then a third thing, the first thing being like, listen, you're called, Jesus calls us to love. And so be prepared to get looked at funny. But they're not hurting you though. So you're not in danger. Secondly, is we all interpret other people's actions according to our experience and our history. If you know love, you're going to interpret someone smiling and saying hello to you as love. But if someone else knows rejection, they might interpret that same gesture as potential rejection or an attack or abating them into something significant. Thirdly, honestly, as Christians, we have to be willing to reach out because Jesus would do that. I mean, Pope Francis, what does he say? You know, he says, we have to go to the fringes. We have to go out there. And if this is their fringe in Sturgis, if this is kind of their fringe and at their high school, like it's totally worth it to just say hi and to treat human beings like human beings. And they don't have to do anything more than that. They just have to say, I'm going to treat you the way I like to be treated. And stop there. But I imagine there's something else going on, and I want to give you a chance to speak to that.
Carolyn?
Sure. What you said was great, and I get, you know, limited information because I just get to see him once a week, and none of these teens are my actual biological children. They're just my spiritual children. So, I've kind of done that and told them to keep going, and I just, this is really great what you said with, you know, calling him to have the courage to just know they're going to get looked at and keep saying hello, because just the teenagers are just, they really all want to, like, do the same thing. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, it's so interesting, too, because I'm glad you said that. One of the things that I found that I did not expect to find in the last couple of years of working with teens is the term extra. I don't know if you've heard the term extra.
That's so extra. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like if someone's trying a little too hard, or someone's like wants to be better, if someone wants to like be great, it's like, oh, seriously, don't try to be so extra.
Don't be so extra.
It's like, oh, no. And yet that sense of like, oh man, that's what we're made for. We're made for being more than this. One of the things that could be helpful if you want to pass this along is, the rate of suicide amongst those who, have transgender identity, whatnot, you know, body dysmorphia, you know, gender dysmorphia, is incredibly high. It's in the 40%. Wow. It's likely connected. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so what do I know? But it's likely connected to deeper issues in a person's life. And so if that's the case, and if some of your teens know, like, okay, well, there's some pain going on here. And as we all know, that when you know someone is experiencing a pain that we might not know anything about, we approach with so much more gentleness. We approach with a lot more understanding when someone lashes out because, like, oh, they're wounded. And I imagine if you were to be able to communicate to some of your teens, not like a pity in the negative sense, but mercy in the positive sense, that would be able to say, okay, you have to understand a lot of these kids are probably wounded in a certain way that they're going to bear their fangs when you show your teeth and smile. And just understand that they're probably going through some stuff. And I think that could really help too. I don't know. That's my two cents.
Carolyn?
That's great. And I liked what you said. I liked what you said about if all you know is love, then you see a smile as love. But if all you know is rejection, then it's very threatening. Because I know that for most of my teens, all they've ever known is love. So for them, just like making eye contact or smiling would just be like, what? I'm trying to like be nice and smile at you, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And that's kind of that's kind of what I'm getting feedback from them. They're like, well, we've already tried to say hi, and they just, you know, come at you or roll their eyes or do whatever. And it's like, okay. So that was as far as I had. So I thought, well, I'll give it a shot and see if you can help me. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Absolutely.
Thanks very, very much. We got to take a quick break. I'm going to get to you folks that are on the line. Do not worry. We're going to get to you when we come back. The number 888-318-7884. Father Michael Schmitz is our guest, and we will be right back after this.
Catholic Answers Live. We're here for you.
Howdy, folks. This is Jimmy Akin, and I'm here to tell you about the 20 Answers Challenge. Here's how it works. When you purchase the sampler of all 26 books in the 20 Answers series, we're going to knock 60% off the price. Then you can challenge yourself to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. And this year, to make it easier, we're offering free shipping on the sampler if you live in the continental United States. That's 60% off, free shipping, and over 500 answers to questions you've had about the Catholic faith. Join us this Lent and Easter to take the 20 Answers Challenge, and together we can be part of something great. Call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. In a series of short, easy-to-read chapters, Trent covers the whole range of common topics, starting with why we believe in anything at all and answering all the common objections to the Catholic faith, both doctrinal and moral. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Better yet, it's only $3 a copy when you order in bulk. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, Chris Check, Carlo Broussard. Our on-fire lineup of speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker for your event, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. If you got to spend your Friday afternoon with somebody, it's hard to think of somebody better than Father Mike Schmitz to spend your Friday afternoon with. And we're talking about his brand new book, Made for Love, which I will recommend highly to you, Same-Sex Attractions in the Catholic Church, full of wisdom, full of love. Despite that, published by Ignatius Press. No, I'm just kidding. Ignatius has, you know, Mark Brumley was here yesterday, the president of Ignatius Press.
Oh, yeah.
Singing your praises and the praises of the book. Let's get to those calls. Tony in Chicago, you are on with Father Mike Schmitz. Your question, please. Tony, did I push the wrong button? There you go, Tony.
Father Mike, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so my family kind of has a situation with one of our loved ones. My sister was married for 10, 15 years, and she decided, or whatever it is, you know, she became a lesbian, and she left her husband, and it's no one in my family ever really. Obviously, we were upset that she left her husband, but no one in my family ever really lashed out at her for her lifestyle. No one in my family ever made any disparaging remarks about her. Nobody ever told her that she wasn't welcome or anything. And she kind of is just adamantly opposed to having anything to do with any of us simply because of our positions. And I think it's like, I'm really enjoying your show here today, because I think it's just kind of highlights some of the aggression that some of the people involved in this lifestyle has. And I think the last caller sort of answered some of my questions, I guess, because it seems like, you know, there's a hurt inside that people are lashing out with. But the thing, though, that I think today, it's being celebrated so much, and the people are being told in media and in other ways that people who don't go along with it are inherently morally inferior. And it seems that there's now this anger towards people who don't accept the lifestyle. And, you know, I know that in a college setting, I've noticed a lot of in-group aggression, from the gay community towards the Christian groups and towards the Catholic student center at the local college that I attended. And I just wonder if there's not some kind of connection or kind of overlap in between the real kind of cultural Marxist type of stuff we see in the media and the gay community, where they're kind of being taught that it's okay to lash out aggressively against people who don't accept their lifestyle.
Okay, Tony, that's a lot, so I want to let you have a chance to respond, Father.
Absolutely. I can think of there's kind of three things. Thank you, Tony, for that. I really appreciate your insights and what you're bringing up. One of the things that strikes me kind of right away is I remember speaking with a woman whose younger brother had come out to her, and they said, "Are you going to tell mom and dad?" He said, "Of course I'm going to tell mom and dad." And his older sister said to him, "Okay, but you know, the sooner you can accept the fact that mom and dad are going to continue to believe what they believe, because they're Catholic, mom and dad are continue to believe what they believe, the happier you're going to be." And he was like, "Wait, they have to, like, I'm their son. They're going to have to change." And she said, and this is such a great, it was a great truth telling moment between like a sister who loved her brother and brother loved her sister. And she said, "No, if you're going to ask them to accept you, then you have to also be willing to accept them." And it was this great challenging moment where he had to come face to face with, like, what you say is kind of this cultural mindset, which is accept everyone except for those people. And so that's a really unique thing. And actually that same young woman, she works in the entertainment industry. She was sharing with me that while she was on the road, there was, you know, one of the people that she works with is openly gay, and she was saying, "Well, I don't have any problem. I mean, I'm just working with someone. I don't need to, like, you know, do whatever." But they had a day off where they could go to mass. And so she went to mass with another member of the crew, and they came back, and the man said, "You know, where have you been?" And they said, "Well, we were at Catholic mass." And she said instantly from that moment on, for the next couple of weeks, he treated her super poorly. And so finally she's pretty sassy. And so she said, "Like, what's going on?" And she said, and the man said, "Well, you said you're Catholic." "Uh-huh." He said, "And I'm gay." She said, "Yeah? Well, you must hate me then." And she was able to, again, this is a sassy woman who has a lot of truth. She's like, "Are you kidding me? I've known you were gay the entire time we've known each other. And I've always treated you well because I like you. The moment you found out I was Catholic, you started treating me poorly." And so, like, and you'll be able to highlight the double standard. And she even then said, "My little brother is gay. So, like, why in the world would you think this?" And it was a good moment of a personal connection, like relationship, highlighting this kind of cultural mindset that we seem to all be under the influence of. And that culture mindset is, unless you celebrate everything I choose, you must automatically hate me. And I actually think Barna Group did a book a couple years ago called Unchristian. And in that book, they asked people who are not Christian, what words would you use to describe Christian? And they said things like homophobic, bigoted, hypocritical, all these kind of things. And you think, wait, that's the first words that they think of when they think of us. And yet, if you were to ask us, like, what do you think? What are the first words you think of when you think of the Catholic Church? We'd say grace and love, truth, mercy. And yet that's what they think. And so what we have to do is the next step. How do we demonstrate to people that who we truly are, that people of grace, people like Jesus, which means, again, as I said before, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. So the example, I think understanding the depth of someone's shame, how hard it is, I think, for someone to carry this weight for a lot of their life. Not everybody, but for some people. And that is, I remember speaking with a mom whose son had come out to her relatively recently. And she said, "I never understood that I'd sit with him on the edge of his bed, you know, when he was in high school, and he'd just be crying and saying, 'Mom, like, you don't love me. No one loves me. My siblings don't love me.' And he just in tears." And she would look at him and say, "Are you kidding me? Like, here's these people love you, all these people, and look at you, you're so talented, and you're just, you know, all these great things about him. And he said this line, he said, but if you knew who I really was, you wouldn't love me. If you knew the truth about me, you wouldn't love me. And then, you know, years later, he said, nah, I'm gay. And she realized, oh, that was the thing that he thought, he was convinced would disqualify him from their love. And it's so interesting because no one in the family rejected him. No one in the family made jokes about, you know, gay people or anything like this. But he was just so convinced that if I reveal this part of me, everyone who claims to love me will cease to love me. And so in that case, we need to go above and beyond. Now, that's the second piece. The third part is what it almost sounds like with your sister's relationship is not so much that this is strictly speaking a homosexual issue as much as it is, I'm going to break my promises to my spouse, my husband, and I'm going to go live this alternative lifestyle, whether that was with, you know, a guy she ran off with or a gal she ran off with. My sense that I get is, and I don't know, because I don't know your situation, obviously, the sense that I get is that there can be a lot of shame about the fact that she knows she's not living a life that she's been called to, that not the life she promised that she would live. I don't know if it has everything to do with the homosexual relationship, but then again, I don't know. That's where I would say common sense could really factor into this a lot.
Tony, thank you. I hope that was helpful. We do have a lot of folks on the line, so I'm going to try to get another call or two in before the top of the hour. Let's go to Timothy in Eugene, Oregon, listening on Modern Day Radio. Timothy, you are on with Father Mike Schmitz.
Yes, hello. I didn't know if I was going to get on or not, but I have a 34-year-old son who came out to me probably in 1999, 2000, when we were sitting around the kitchen table. And I didn't disparage it or anything. I just kind of let it go by. And in 2012, he got married to his partner. And he lives in Virginia, and I live out West Coast. And I went on Facebook and kind of posted what I thought the Catholic Church's position was with same-sex marriage. And he messaged me back that he was ashamed of me, and I haven't heard from him since. How can I proceed with... I've sent him Christmas cards, I sent him birthday card, I called him here recently, and I get no response.
Okay, that's a pretty clear question, Timothy. So I want to because we're running up to the top of the hour, let Father respond.
Yeah, Tim, it sounds like what you're doing is what you should be doing. Is all you can do. So you have to understand, though, too, that your prayers as a dad are super powerful. So, like, you can pray even across the coast, you know, across the continent. For your son. I would even just, I raise my hands to the east, you know, and just, you know, pray over your son. You can do that. You can, the power of a father's blessing, the power of a father's prayer is super powerful. So I'm sure you're praying, so keep on praying, because the story's not over yet. The story is not written yet. This is a chapter, and it's a dark chapter, but it's not done. Secondly, is keep reaching out to him, because one of the things that I think can happen is like, that sense of I'm going to isolate myself because I'm afraid of being hurt. And I think that could be a real fear that he has. Now, the third thing is, I think this happens more and more, that we are called to love, is that we tell the truth, but we have to also love. We also have to tell the truth. We have to tell the truth in love. And that's what you're doing, Tim. I just invite you to continue to do that as best you can.
Timothy, thank you so much for that question. I'm glad we were able to get that in. Father Mike Schmitz, thank you so much for a really wonderful hour.
Thank you.
May we have your blessing before we go, Father.
Absolutely. May Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The book is the new book from Father Mike Schmitz is Made for Love, Same-Sex Attractions and the Catholic Church. You can find it at Augustine Institute or Ignatius Press. Either one, it'll be there for you. Thank you so much again, Father, for your time. Thank you, everybody, who joined us this week. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.